And so you see how if you continue to propagate the same exact paradigms, just because they got you here doesn't mean they're going to get you there. Doesn't mean it's always the best way to think. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to Morning Coffee. My name is Rick Alexander. And if you're wondering why I'm putting out an episode on Tuesday, and I guess why they haven't been super regular lately is, you know, as I've gone through this time to ask myself some of the deeper questions and figure out what I wanted, I've also noticed that other people are speaking up more and they're saying more things. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're adding more value. And so as I thought about this for myself, I realized I only actually want to put anything out when I have something of value to add. And right now I'm writing a book. And so I'm working a ton, making sense of my thoughts. And as I make sense of them, you know, I don't like to introduce ideas if I don't have them very well thought out. So anyway, so there's a little bit of a change in the rhythm of me getting some of my thoughts out into the world. And part of that is just because I don't feel like adding noise just because I can. I want to really add value. So if I have something valuable to add, I definitely will. And if not, you'll just get a little bit of silence from me. I'm also sharing some of these concepts on Instagram. I did Instagram TV about fear and love at @RickAlexander_, which I would definitely say you should go check out. Very relevant in our times. There's a continuum in which we derive our motivation from. And so we can make all of our decisions based on fear and love. And that podcast or that Instagram TV was actually about how we do that. And I'm going to break that concept down further because I'm seeing how it's corralling our behavior in the world today more and more. All that to say is, yeah, it's not as regular as it normally is, but I promise when I do say something, it's going to be because I've deemed it as valuable and I've thought through it enough to be able to articulate it. Today's topic is actually because I was trying to put an idea into a 1 minute Instagram video, and I was having a lot of trouble doing it. And I probably tried like 50 times. I ended up making it about 1:20. And then I thought, well, why don't I just elaborate on this idea and do a full length podcast on it? So that's what we're going to do today. Today's insight or wisdom is going to come from the Buddha, because we're going to be talking about meditation, contemplative exercise and practice, something that's been crucial to my life, especially in the last month or so. But you know, most of our understanding of meditation today is derived from Buddhism, which is interesting because Christianity actually has its own form of contemplative practice, and Islam has the same thing. But again, most of us understand meditation through the yogic traditions and derived further down from the Buddha himself. So both of our quotes today are going to come from Buddha. The first one is, "As you walk and eat and travel, be where you are. Otherwise, you're going to miss most of your life." He also said, "It is better to conquer yourself than to win 1,000 battles. Then the victory is yours and it cannot be taken from you." So again, like I mentioned, today we're going to talk a little bit about meditation and finding stillness. And so the thing that I posted on Instagram, which is actually what spurred this entire topic, is the idea that only in stillness do we find the underlying order behind all of the chaos, and only do we begin to hear the rhythm that to us often just sounds like noise. And so what I found is if you can get still enough, if you can engage in these practices that put you into stillness, like contemplative practice, like meditation, what happens is you begin to see things that aren't normally there. And so I want to explain why that is. And so I want to start by saying we have this definition of insanity, which is trying the same thing multiple times and expecting a different result. And as you look out into the world, you realize, be that as it may, we're actually mostly getting the same results, right? Like, that's why we're all right now in the same kind of trouble. Like, some people are a little better off than others. And so we actually all end up living very similar lives, but we're all trying vastly different things. We all have different religions and beliefs. We're working different jobs. We're dating different people. And so then you ask yourself, well, then why do we get similar results? And the reason is because what we actually have to change is our thinking. See, we're all thinking in largely the same way. And so even if you try different things, but you're thinking in the same way, you're going to end up with the same results because your thinking, your logical conclusions are going to lead you to similar outcomes, right? So depending on the paradigm that you're thinking within, you're going to end up in very similar conclusions. And so the paradigm is just basically the structure of your thoughts. It's what do you think is important? What do you think matters here? So the paradigm that you think in is actually what gives form and structure to all of your different thought patterns. And so we all exist mainly within the same paradigms. And that's the only way that society really can work, is we all have to say that basically we value the same things, which means we've decided the same things are important. And so we all make our decisions based off of those things, and they lead us to where we are. But where we are isn't necessarily, I don't know, where we should be. Because if you think about it, we all value things that are definitely not helping our lives at all. Like maybe we value safety to the point where we've made decisions that have landed us in life's work that we're not super happy with because of the benefits and all of the things. And right now, we're in a position where a lot of the things that we were told we should value have been taken. And so now we ask, well, now what matters, right? And so you can see that based on the paradigm that you're thinking, it's going to lead to similar results. And because we all think in largely the same way, we're all thinking within the same paradigms. And the reason is because our paradigms are given to us by our culture. Like you, where your culture ends and you begin, this is a point I tried to make in my last book. It's very hard to tell because the culture gave form to your thoughts. And so your teachers and your parents and everyone that taught you how to think came from the same culture. And so the things that you think are important are things that your culture thinks are important. Now, what's very interesting is you can look at other times in culture and you realize that the mass opinion about something was actually much different. For example, back in like the 1920s, 1910s, it was actually really prevalent to believe that a superior race existed, right? So that was actually something that our culture largely propagated and believed in. And so that was the paradigm that we thought in. Well, then what happens, like somewhere like Germany brings that to its logical conclusion, right? And then we end up with World War II and we all realize like, whoa, we were all thinking about things in completely the wrong way. And so it's actually really important that you ask yourself is like, based on the thoughts that I have about the world that I'm living in, are those actually conducive and do those line up with my intrinsic value system? Because if they don't, you'll end up propagating thoughts and beliefs that you don't actually think are very important. That being said, a belief system that is unexamined is actually more of a pathology than an antidote to something. So the thing that you believe about the world can be largely important, or can be massively important. It can be very strong. It can help pull you through adversity, right? This is why oftentimes religious belief is so potent and valuable, because you know, you can see like in the protests back in Vietnam where there's a really potent picture of a monk who burned himself alive in protest. You have to have a certain level of belief that can get you there, right? Same thing with the terrorists in the World Trade Centers. The amount of belief that they had to have, massive. It shows you both the importance of belief and then also the pathology of that belief if it is unexamined. And so we actually have a responsibility as citizens, as sovereign citizens, to examine our own belief systems, to pull our paradigms apart and ask ourselves, do we actually care about the things that we are propagating and that we're saying were important, the things that have been handed to us? But without examining these things, it's very hard to know where you end and your culture begins, or your culture ends and you begin. And so you can see how important your beliefs are and whether you question them or not, right? It's the difference between a religious belief that leads to the highest good and a religious belief that leads to more war, more torment, and more destruction. So that being said, I've also talked a bit in my content about the role of our mind, right? So really the judgmental mind, the reason we have the ability to judge things and the reason that we think in relation to other things is because it tells us where we are in the world. And so we live in this world of causality. And so our minds are always asking ourselves, what caused what? And that can be a pathology too, because if you're always looking for why something happened, right, and you don't find something, you're likely to attribute the wrong reason to it. So at our best, our minds tell us why things are happening the way that they are. And at our worst, we're actually confabulating why things are happening because we can't find a reason for them. And so this is why we end up lying to ourselves about, well, we lie to ourselves about all kinds of things. We lie to ourselves about our status, how good of people we are, our own morality. And so you have to really take the time in your own self-awareness to ask yourself the tough questions. And like I think I said on the last podcast, most people don't ask themselves the tough questions because honestly, we're afraid of the answer. So you have this mind that is always judging things. And the reason it's judging things at its best, once again, is to ask ourselves why things are occurring in the way that they are. What happens is our mind gives us the reason. Our mind gives us the cause for the effect, and then within the paradigm, based on what we think is important, how we've been taught to think, we make our decisions. Now, the reason that reactivity can be so harmful, the reason that reactive people tend to screw up their lives is because when you react to something, the quicker you react to something, the higher the chance of error. Think about it like a gut reaction, right? It's like a gut reaction can save your life, right? It can also be completely wrong. If you haven't learned to hone in your own intuition about things and figure out how to listen to yourself, a lot of times we have a gut reaction like about somebody and we're way wrong. The reason being is because, okay, so here's an example. Let's say that you meet somebody and you're like, I don't like them, right? Now, sometimes you don't like somebody because you know there's an inherent mismatch of value systems and you feel it in a way before you can articulate what it is. That's the best manifestation of your intuition or your gut reaction to something. At the same time, that person might just exhibit a mannerism that reminds you of something that your dad did when you were 5 years old that made you feel a certain type of way. And so you don't know why you don't like them. You're attributing it to a gut reaction and your own intuition. But the reality is that they're actually just a mirror for some other thing in your life that you haven't worked through. And so you can see in the worst manifestation of the gut reaction is a very quick reaction to something. And so the error to that thing becomes very high. And so when you think about our leaders, for example, the more reactive they are, probably the worse off we are as followers, because the quicker you react to something, the higher the chance of error. Now, when you react to something, you can also only react to something based in the paradigm and the thought structure that you've had in the past, right? You have to have some basis for thoughts. And our paradigm always tells us, based on our value system and what we think is important, what the next right action is going to be. And so when you react to something, you can only do so within the paradigm that you've been given. And so this is the second sort of problem or inherent negative drawback to reactivity. It's like you're stuck. If you react to something, you're stuck in the paradigm. So there's a part in the Bible where Jesus says, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. But before that, that was the only way that people were actually thinking about the world. It was all causality. It was all get even. They were always thinking in a hierarchical structure. And so it was always about power and dominance. And it's like, somebody had to come along and say, listen, I understand that this is the paradigm that you've been taught to believe in, but at some point, if nobody stops this, if nobody rises above this world of causality, you're going to continue to contribute to things that are harming your own life, right? And then everybody lives in a world where people have less eyes, right? Less vision. And so that's actually becomes really important, because it denigrates the quality of your world, because people without vision can be really, really dangerous. And so you see how if you continue to propagate the same exact paradigms, just because they got you here doesn't mean they're going to get you there. Doesn't mean it's always the best way to think, right? And so we have to have some tool, something that allows us to pull ourselves outside of our current thought structure, outside of the world that our current paradigm has built. And we have to learn to rise above that causality. And so the only way that we can do that is if we look at our situation through eyes that are not our own, right? Because the lens that you have is already built. It's already been based on the paradigm and the world that you've grown up in. To find a new view, you kind of have to find a new point. And so this is where meditation and contemplative practice really helps. And I would argue too that, like, in our Western society, we tend to think prayer is like, oh, let me ask for something. It's like, okay, let me talk to God and just ask him for what I want. But I would say that the deeper meaning of prayer is actually more of a meditation. It's more of a contemplative practice. You always start by showing gratitude for what you have, and then you empty yourself, you open yourself up to receive what is. And when you empty your mind of preconceived notions, you're beginning to drop your current perspective and point of view, which means you're free to experience other points of view and perspectives. And so what happens is, when you begin to pull yourself out of your current situation and you begin to change your perspective, then things begin to look different, right? Where you thought that you had to poke that other eye out because that person poked your eye out, you realize, oh, from a different perspective, this actually doesn't make sense at all. We're actually going to propagate a system where everybody's going to go blind. But I've got to have some way of getting there. I've got to have some way of thinking that. So in the Buddhist traditions, they call it no mind, right? This is the emptying of your preconceived notions and your judgment and entering into a situation so you can see what it is without your judgment of what it should be or how you've experienced it, right? Because as soon as you start to look at something how you've experienced it, you're going to only be able to see it through your point of view. Now, in the Christian tradition, Jesus had a different way of saying that. He basically said the mind of a child. So you can think back when you were a child, then you were more driven by awe, you were more driven by curiosity, you were more driven by wonder. And another thing that I tried to tackle in my book was talking about this, because as soon as you begin to judge things and decide how things should be, you begin to lose your curiosity for how they actually are. The problem is that you actually lose a lot of opportunity with your judgment as well, because once you decide how things are, you are putting life in a situation where it can only either unfold exactly as you expect it to be, or it can unfold opposite of how you expect it to be, and then that is deemed as a bad thing, right? It's very, very hard for life to surprise us in a good way unless we empty ourselves of all of our preconceived notions, all of our judgments about how things should be. And then when we look at things for how they are, without our attachment to how they are perceived to us, and without our current paradigm and the things that we're being told are important, then what you begin to realize is that everything just is, right? It doesn't have to be good or bad. It actually can just be. And if things can just be, you can just be, right? It's all of the time that we realize that things have to be different, where we feel like we have to mold from a human being to a human doing, and we have to manipulate things, and we have to grab things, and we have to be in control of things. But if you're always having to be in control of things, you, one, become very exhausted, and two, you realize that it's not a sustainable way to be, right? And so, like, for example, right now, what we're seeing is we spent millions, billions of dollars, an untold amount of lives fighting each other. But then all of a sudden a virus comes along and it's like, hey, let me reframe the way that you are thinking about things and what you think of is important. And now all of a sudden, what do we all wish, which is that we had more money fighting things that could hurt us all, right? And so we realize how frivolous it probably is to be fighting each other. At least that's one of the things that I'm hopeful that we learn in this experience. The problem is, when you're busy lobbing rockets back and forth at each other, and you're busy defending yourself, and then you're busy being proactive and trying to fight, you don't have the bandwidth or the time to pull yourself out of that situation and ask yourself, where is this road going? And is it actually conducive to our species and to our life here on Earth? And so with contemplative practice, with meditation, with emptying yourself of what you believe you should be, you're given the gift of what is. And what you find is life can surprise you in a good way, that there are actually way more opportunities, that just because you were wrong doesn't mean you have to wrong somebody back, or just because you've been oppressed doesn't mean you have to control and oppress others. Like, it's the only way that we pull ourselves out of our current paradigm and ask ourselves what else is true. And then finding out what else is true, you're given actual gift of mobility, meaning you can move right or left. You're no longer being corralled. Your future isn't being corralled by your past. It's just so hard for us to drop our identity and the things that have happened to us in the past long enough to decide on a new future. And I think right now, the reason that meditation is so important and contemplative practice and prayer is so important is not because we need to, like, try to talk to God to ask for things. It's actually because we need to stop trying to control things. We need to drop our judgments about how things are. And in doing so, we'll find out that there's so much more opportunity for what could be. But it'll be hard to get there if we don't change the way that we're thinking. And that's why stillness is so important, because you realize that in all the chaos that you're feeling, there's always an underlying order, right? And there's a mathematical concept for that called chaos theory, which states that there's always an underlying order between everything that appears random. I would argue that that's also a representation of what God is, but we have to have some way to commune with it, to see it, to notice it. And in order to do that, we have to stop thinking so much and doing so much and reacting so much. We have to be more contemplative. We have to empty ourselves of what we know and what we think, so that we're free to experience what is. And, you know, short of that, we are going to continue to get the same results. And so, yeah, you can try different things, but if you don't change your thinking, you'll never be able to change your life. That's been the experience in my life anyway. I love you guys. Hope you have an amazing day. We'll talk next time on Morning Coffee.